giving back is just kind of something that's just sort of part of my life. I try to do it constantly. I like that I sort of do it through my job every day and also help other people do it.
To sit back and complain about things not getting done isn't the right answer. So if something needs done, get up and do it, or find the people to help you get up and do it, or the funding and the resources to get up and do it.
You know, I think we get a bad rap as being kind of unengaged politically, but I think the answer is it's a different engagement. You look at what Facebook and Twitter and social media has done to political engagement. You see the ability to create international networks around issues, whether it's social justice, politics, sports. It's a whole different way of connecting. And so I don't think it's a lack of engagement. It's just a new model of engagement.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We are focusing today's show on Pittsburgh millennials. And in this particular segment, we're looking at Pittsburgh millennials in political office and civic engagement. Why is their participation so important? Well, the nonprofit sector in the United States plays an increasingly critical role in our cities, regions, states, and nation. Nonprofit organizations employ hundreds of thousands of people in the Pittsburgh region and generate millions of dollars of economic activity related to the services they provide. However, with the poor economy, many charitable organizations are finding that they need to redefine their community relevance for millennials in particular. I'm joined now in Studio A by Dana Brown. She's director of the Pennsylvania Center for Women and Politics. She runs the Ready to Run program. Dana, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me on.
And also with us is Linda Jones. She is vice president of campaign for the United Way of Allegheny County. Linda, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I'll throw this question out to either of you. What can you say about how this generation is engaged in the political process and with their communities? Let's start with you, Dana.
Sure. We know that this generation is particularly disaffected, if you will. They tend to step away from, you know, the polarized politics. They register at much higher numbers with, you know, being independent. And they really do see service as their outlet. Certainly my job, right, is to take some of that service-oriented spirit and to make it political and to ask those millennials to consider, you know, what are the political questions? What are the political roots of the issues that you're trying to tackle in the community? But so overall, we see that they are not really a fan of party politics, but are doing a great service in our community every day by being civically engaged in non-traditional ways.
And Linda, what are your thoughts on this?
I would echo what Dana said as well, but we see that 75% of millennials are engaged in their community, whether it's through donating time or money. And volunteering is a huge part of how they participate and get involved in their communities. And it's not just about the dollars. It's how can their skills take them and help somebody? How do their skills help someone else?
Sure.
And so lending those skills to others is really important to them.
And where are millennials most engaged? Do they tend to be more globally or locally focused?
Well, we initially thought when we were in the early planning stages of how do we get millennials engaged, we really thought it was going to be global. But after doing some focus groups locally and really on a national level, we found that once a millennial gets their first job and really starts to build their lives in a community, they're really more focused on that local community and bettering that local community.
And Dana, who are those in the millennial generation making a mark on local politics? What has their work yielded so far?
Well, certainly, I believe you just recently had newly elected City Councilman Dan Gilman on your show, and he is certainly within that millennial generation and using his service in the political arena. And I would also mention his colleague, City Councilwoman Natalia Rudiak, I think also is technically within that millennial generation. So we certainly see some folks out making their service political. But we, again, I would, you know, go back to the statement that they really are engaged on a, in a service-oriented level. So you might find them more in your local neighborhoods working on economic development in NGOs or even creating their own if they can't necessarily find one to plug into. I think this is a particularly entrepreneurial generation when it comes to social aspects, and so they're establishing their own. I would mention also even Latasha Mays on the NGO side for New Voices Pittsburgh, right? She is making her mark on reproductive justice issues and women of color within that millennial generation. Couldn't necessarily find one to plug into necessarily, but so she established her own, and that's amazing work.
And there are so many ways to be politically active today, from national campaigns to neighborhood concerns. What are the best ways that you would say for 20 and 30-somethings to get engaged? If they want to follow in the footsteps of Dan Gilman, what do they do? Especially when, as you say, Dana, the millennials are shunning the traditional political party politics.
Right, generally. I mean, so I to prepare for this interview, right, we looked up some stats, and the one that really stepped out to me was that nearly 3 in 5 young Americans agree that elected officials seem to be more selfish or selfishly motivated, right? So millennials are not one to really want to jump into that crowd, right? So they're finding these different outlets. And but from my perspective with politics, we always encourage our young people to begin volunteering on campaigns. I mean, it's the best way, right, to get to know your neighborhood. Working, you're door knocking and volunteering on campaigns, you really get to learn what the issues are going neighbor to neighbor, hearing directly from them. So that's always the first thing I say, is to volunteer on a campaign, because there are so many out there that need your help.
And Linda, with so many ways to give time and money to causes, especially online, how can people figure out which charities are worthy?
Well, I think that part of the way millennials approach nonprofits and giving is actually their way of finding their worthiness. And it's up to a nonprofit in the millennials' eyes to prove the impact of their contributions. What really has not been that case for the boomer generation, that they want to know the efficiency of the organization and where the dollars are going. The millennials want to know, when I give, who's going to be impacted? What's the end result? What's the outcome? What am I bettering by my dollars? And so a nonprofit has to be able to prove that those dollars are making a critical impact on somebody in need in the community.
What do you think that national and local politics might look like in 10 to 15 years with the millennial generation coming into its own?
I would imagine that the politics would be focused a little bit more on pragmatism, because they do seem to be a little bit less polarized and they're interested in getting work done. So I'm hopeful, very hopeful, with this next generation that they will force us all into working together and working across the aisle.
And, well, Linda, what do you think that civic engagement might look like in 10 or 15 years?
Well, we definitely know as a nonprofit here at United Way that we have to provide great opportunities for a millennial to not just give, but to advocate, to volunteer, to be deeply involved in each aspect of the organization. It can't be just about going out and saying, once a year will you give? And so the greater the engagement and the involvement, the more we know that those millennials, they find a loyalty and they find compassion. Once they find compassion, they really want to be part of that organization. So nonprofits can't just ask for money anymore. There has to be a way to get other ways to get these potential donors involved.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You're listening to our special program on Pittsburgh Millennials. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If millennials are giving frequently but in small numbers now, Linda, given their time as volunteers or giving their time as volunteers in lieu of, say, donations, how much of that is about the economy and being young, and how likely is that trend going to continue as millennials get into their 40s and 50s?
Yeah. So if you think of the millennial generation, they have on average each $45,000 in debt. when they start their into the workforce. And so, yes, their level of contribution is not going to be high. You know, it's not the $1,000 donors. But that's okay. The millennials approach giving in micro giving. So they'll give $25, $50, $100 multiple times a year. And they give often to what their friends and families encourage them to participate with. We talk about peer-to-peer giving, where if my friend is involved in something and they ask me to give, I'm willing to give $25. And I'll do that multiple times throughout the year. And so that kind of giving is great. It's perfectly acceptable. You know, that's the type of engagement and involvement that we need. But also at the same time, having multiple opportunities for those peers not to just give together, but volunteer together, get out in the community together to make a difference together outside of those financial contributions.
And when organizations change their approach to reach millennials, does that change the message of the organization? If the United Way changes its primary way of fundraising and its narratives, is that okay? And how much does that change what the organization is?
It's not about changing the organization. It's changing the messaging and how we present it. So United Way has been critical to addressing the community needs for 125 years. But it's showing the impact of the work, and it's defining the work a little bit differently so that it resonates with this next generation. You know, you talk about your successes in different ways. And so it's just about finding the right way to talk about the impact that those dollars are having, the contribution, the time, the advocacy. What impact is that having on the local community? That's what we need to do in order to engage that millennial group.
And if more young people are using individual funding systems like Kickstarter and fundraiser.com to get around the big third-party charities, how do organizations like the United Way, or the Red Cross for that matter, stay relevant?
We have to be creative in our approach. We have to be innovative, just like the millennial generation is innovative. So do the nonprofits have to be innovative. And so, you know, we've been very successful with our fundraising model, but we know we need to be adaptable. We have to do something that to give those that generation the opportunity to give in a way they feel comfortable. So I think nonprofits just have to be as innovative as that generation is in their approach.
Dana, for 20 and 30 somethings, what are the things that they are most responsive to?
Well, certainly it seems that this generation is pretty responsive to issues of climate change. It really does seem that this generation seems that, you know, this is the question of their time and sustainability. So I think that that is one where you'll find, I think, some traction with this generation. But one thing that I wanted to add to the conversation with Linda and you were having is that from the political side, we need to demonstrate that something can be accomplished. Right, Ray, I mean, Linda's talking about showing the millennials that there is something that comes of their work, whether it's donations or service. And they are a generation of technology and instantaneousness. And so they could perhaps go to the food bank and see almost directly that family that they've helped, right? And that is hugely helpful in the nonprofit community, that they can see their service at work while doing it, as well as the impact, potentially even at the end of the day. And in politics, we know that it can take 3 years for legislation, if not more, right? So I would say in the political community, we really need to start to demonstrate to the millennial generation that change can happen just as it can happen out in the community. And we need to demonstrate what that looks like for them to draw them in, because it is a turnoff for sure, I think, that their use of this instantaneous gratification and, oh my gosh, I have to wait 3 years for this committee to even pick up the bill that I care about. So,
and what are your thoughts on the role that technology, you know, is, which certainly has something to do with that whole idea of instant gratification? How is technology, or what role is technology playing in the political process, do you think?
Well, on the one hand, a great deal in some respects, because it's a way in which, for some people call armchair activism, right? So you can learn a lot actually through social media these days. You can learn from peer-to-peer communication what your friends are thinking on any given topic. And then on the other hand, oftentimes it'll end there. So it's a good way, I think, for issues to come up, right, in your social group. And then on the other hand, I would push those millennials to take that even more to the representatives and get more involved offline as they are online.
And what are the approaches that you think nonprofits are finding to be effective?
Well, nonprofits engaging millennials that are being successful have a robust technology platform that the website's up to date. They have lots of social media contacts. So on the technology side, you know, we really have to be with it in order to engage this millennial generation, so that the websites are very infographic in nature and not
sure
lots of text and stories. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done on the technology side. Social media is something that we really need to develop strongly in order to resonate with this generation.
And I was going to ask you, what are the generational experiences that influence that approach? But you might have just some of the social media that's out there that might be the answer.
Well, many of this generation, many individuals in this generation have never not had a computer, not had a cell phone, not grown up without something technology-based driving their day-to-day life. So it's critical that we're able to meet their needs on the technology side. And that's why it's so important for us to follow what means something to them. And in this instance that we're talking about, technology is really important to them.
And on the political side, I feel like we've been a little bit slower to react, frankly. I mean, sure, representatives and senators and so on are on social media and you can contact them perhaps. But as far as actually doing anything in government online, I mean, you can't register to vote online. So there just seems to be a little bit of a disconnect, I feel like, in some of the way in which we govern and how this younger generation sort of expects things to happen. So I think politics is a little bit slow to the game. We're not reacting the way in which we should. I mean, the Pennsylvania Center for Women in Politics, we just started our Twitter about, 6 months ago? So even ourselves, myself included, I'm not on Twitter, so I'm just getting the organization up on Twitter, and we're trying to find followers that way. And the next thing you know, millennials are all on Instagram. So they're already moving on to another platform, and we're one platform behind. That's how I feel.
Baby steps.
Right, from Twitter to Instagram, moving on.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being a part of our program on millennials. Dana Brown is director of the Pennsylvania Center for Women and Politics, and she runs the Ready to Run program. And Linda Jones, vice president of campaign for the United Way of Allegheny County. Thank you, both of you, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of this show or want to visit past programs, go to our website, wesa.fm. There we will also be posting full profiles and audio from some of the Pittsburgh millennials you heard throughout today's show. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening.